Good morning, everybody. So welcome this morning. As you can see, everything's just working perfectly and everything's in its place and as it should be. You have some of those days, don't you? That's just life. It kind of, some days things just don't quite come together at the right time and the right space. But yet we know that we come this Easter Sunday, a day whenever the disciples would have come to that tomb, full of despondency, full of despair, full of the moment of hearts that were sad, but only to find that the stone was rolled away, to find that Jesus' body was not there, to begin to wrestle in their heads with the fact that somebody may have taken the body, only for him to declare that he is risen and that he is now standing amongst them alive and well. Today we come, we gather to worship a God who is not dead. All the other world religions have prophets who have died and remain dead. But we have the God, the one true God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who died and rose again. And we're going to declare that in a moment with a resounding voice. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. This is how God showed his love amongst us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed.
The story of the empty tomb. On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned round, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
In our advertising, is that the right way to put it? In our announcements for what Easter or Easter services and stuff this year, the little strapline was, "The story of Easter is love. Love conquers all." Love is that moment where we understand and we know something shifts within us, don't we? Love in the context of us as individuals in relationship with other people. Think back to whenever maybe you met your first love for the very first time and your heart began to flutter. I could tell you stories about how I met my love. I could tell you the proper way about how all of that happens. She might have a slightly different version of that, or point of view of that. But actually, that's actually how we view what happened on Easter as well. One of my practices on Easter Sunday morning is to read the Easter story, if you like, the Easter morning story from all four of the Gospels. I was struck afresh this morning as I did that, that they tell the exact same story, but from different points of view. They pick up on different details in different ways to show us the bigger picture, but it is all that love has conquered death itself. The victory of the cross, the despondency of Good Friday is gone, and there is rejoicing and joy and happiness because Jesus is alive. He is risen. He has conquered death itself, and love has won. Amen. Amen. We're kind of, in our Church of Ireland, we reserve ourselves from that. But actually it is. It's that declaration that Christ is risen. Hallelujah. It's amazing. It's a story that we carry in our hearts, in our minds, in our very being. It's a story that we cannot keep to ourselves. As Derek read that John's version, if you like, his point of view of that first Easter morning, he cannot be struck with a number of times in that passage how it repeats itself by saying something along the lines of, they still did not understand from the scriptures what was to happen. They had been there with Jesus, but they still didn't quite get it. I wonder, does the retelling of this Easter story today in this place shatter your unbelief? Does it break into that moment of complacency that we know this story? I've heard it before. It's not new. It doesn't need to be new because the story brings life and power and victory into each one of our lives every time that it is told. And every time that Jesus is received. And in this particular version of it, in John's version of it, we hear that interaction with Mary. And who she thought was the gardener. So John chapter 20, verse 13, they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know him. Where have they put him?" This she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, Tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned towards him, cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. When he said her name, she recognized his voice. Is the risen Lord calling your name today that you might recognize him? And in recognize him, receiving some of his love in the knowledge that no matter how much of his love you take, he still has so much more to give away. And no matter how much of his love you keep, whenever you give it away, you do not lose anything by giving it away. You simply affect and try to transform another person's life. I wonder, will our story be that we still didn't understand what the scriptures were telling us? Or will something shift within us that we are like Mary, where we recognize the risen Jesus today in a fresh way, in a new way, in a way that brings life and transforming power and victory to each one of us as individuals and collectively as a group of people in this place? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you offer us that opportunity to come to you afresh and anew. And so in coming to you afresh and anew, we recognize, we surrender, we hear your voice, and we follow the voice to the foot of the cross. And in reaching the foot of the cross, we realize that you're not there, nor are you in a closed tomb, but you are alive and well today, that you are living amongst us, in our hearts, in our being, and so that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So whatever is to come today, we can cry that love has conquered it, that death itself is defeated, and that we have what we need to face tomorrow. In your precious name we pray. Amen. We hear some scripture today from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or even dare to imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this Easter day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Don't rush away. We cup of tea and coffee after the service.